Alrighty, welcome to the 9th edition of the Sagebrush Shit Show. My name is Sam Jackson. Grant Best cannot be here today, unfortunately. He got tied up in some meetings. Obviously, you can see where his priorities are. However, today we do have a wonderful guest star. Hannah Bundy, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself real quick?
Hi, it's me, Hannah Bundy. I am a liberal. I'm a token liberal on the show because Sam is also a liberal. Can we restart?
I feel no, so awful. Keep going.
Okay. Are you going to cut that out?
No, keep going.
Okay, anyways, I'm so sorry. I study communication studies with a double minor in journalism and communications and political science, and that's it. I'm involved with the USU Democrats and GRC and Chass Council, so that's me.
Wonderful. So this weekend, I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving break. Sorry for the hiatus on the show. I was out of town. I was back in D.C. Hannah, you went back to New Mexico, correct? How was your break?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was super warm down there.
That's good.
I got to eat green chili, so I'm feeling fine.
Glad to hear it. Over the weekend, Utah State played their final regular season game of the year. They lost a close one to Air Force. Finishing the season at 6-6, it still should be bowl eligible. We'll see. I mean, I've been pretty outspoken about this issue over the past few weeks. Really don't care whether they make a bowl game or not. Probably won't be watching. Certainly won't be attending. So, anyways, any comments you want to make about the football game, Hannah?
You know,
I know you're really passionate about Utah State football.
I know so much about football, really. Just the most, really a lot about football.
Go Redskins, right?
Yeah, go Redskins.
Yeah, there you go.
But we'll see. I don't have a lot of faith in our team, to be honest.
Dang. Hot take. Hot take number one of the day.
Hot take from Hannah.
So we had some pretty, interesting topics come out this week. Most notably, since we've been gone, the Al Franken allegations have come to surface. Obviously, we're still dealing with Roy Moore, and now even more recently, John Conyers, who is the, I believe it's called the Dean of the House of Representatives. He's the oldest member of Congress, or longest tenured, excuse me. So obviously, sexual assault, sexual harassment is a pretty prevalent problem within Congress, within politics in general. Hannah, what's your first reaction to Al Franken? How do you think the Democratic Party, as a Democrat yourself, should deal with him? Do you think he should resign? Are you satisfied with his apology? Are you satisfied with how he's handled it? And compare it to the Roy Moore situation, if you would.
Well, I mean, look, the reality of the situation is that I think it's important to believe victims when they come forward. When Al Franken's allegations came out, it was difficult because obviously, as a Democrat, I hoped for better from our representatives, and specifically from Al Franken, who has been such an impactful member of the United States government for such a long time. But I think what he did was completely inappropriate. And for someone to claim that they respect women and support women as much as he does, I think that that's bullshit, really. I mean,
Hot take number two.
You can't pretend to respect women and then grope a woman while she's sleeping or kiss her without her invitation. So in my opinion, Al Franken should resign. Yes, he's an important Democrat, but first of all, that seat is going to be Democrat regardless of who's there, and I'd rather have somebody who didn't sexually harass women in that seat over Al Franken. But it's not just about politics. The reality is that we have to make it so it's safer for women to be in politics and to be in the professional workplace.
Interesting. And so, I think we've kind of gotten to a point where we've had enough prominent politicians. I mean, already two prominent Democrats and, potential Senate Republican, and I'm sure many more are coming in recent, in future weeks. We've also had, the whole Harvey Weinstein situation, Louis C.K., several, really high-profile people who have kind of had these allegations against them. So I guess, what is your opinion on, women kind of speaking out against, not necessarily against, but having the courage to come out and talk about these things? Because I think it's definitely really intimidating to come out and accuse you know, millionaires and billionaires and high-profile politicians, you know, of doing these things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I've thought of most recently is that a lot of people are assuming that many of these women are coming out solely because of politics or because they want the attention or what have you. But really, we have to understand that it's been very difficult for women who have suffered from sexual assault and sexual harassment and rape to come forward in the past because people didn't understand that this was an actual issue. And so Harvey Weinstein is, I groan right. when I think of him because right. he obviously is not a good person. But because of what he did, there are so many women who are allowed, not so much allowed rather, but who feel like they can come forward finally and talk about their experiences and get the closure that they deserve and the justice that they deserve. And so I think it's important, and I commend these women because I don't think I could have the same bravery that they do, and I don't think that I would be able to come forward in such a public way to talk about my experience that was, I'm sure, extremely painful and private for all of them. So I commend them, and I think it's wonderful that finally in 2017 we can talk about this on a national level and we can include it in our current events and in our daily conversations. I think that's important, and I think it's a good way to start teaching our sons and daughters and, you know, children and our friends and our family members that no, this isn't okay, that no right. is a real thing we have to listen to, and that you have to respect other people.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I think it's you know, we've had kind of this, you know, over the past, you know, since basically we've had, you know, American government, I think that, you know, sexual assault have kind of, and, you know, not, you know, and sexual harassment in general have kind of had their place in politics. I think men have just kind of gotten away with it for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that we're in for kind of a rude awakening. Even with some of our beloved figures like Al Franken, like, of course, I was a huge Al Franken fan, and I know you were too.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, millions of Democrats were across the country. And so I think, you know, it's going to be really hard for these next, I mean, probably next few years. But I think now I'm glad that we're moving to a place, you know, where women can feel comfortable coming out and speaking up against this. So,
absolutely.
Kind of switching gears here. I guess I want to call this the shitstorm of the week, if that wasn't already. Our wonderful, our benevolent president of the United States, Mr. Donald J.
Hashtag
Trump.
Not my president.
Hashtag not my president.
Let's be clear about that, please. Obama, come back. Barack, come back.
Oh,
in
goodness.
The words of Chance the Rapper on
yeah.
SNL. Continue, Sam.
No, you're good. today, Trump has... Of course, you know, as he tweets daily, tweeted out the following tweet. Meeting with, quote, Chuck and Nancy today about keeping government open and working. Problem is, they want illegal immigrants flooding into our country unchecked, are weak on crime, and want to substantially raise taxes. I don't see a deal. And so, as a result of that, there's a pretty hilarious picture circulating on the internet where Trump is sitting there with, you know, two empty chairs next to him, one for Chuck Schumer and one for Nancy Pelosi, and they basically just bailed on him for that meeting. And now, of course, Fox News and the right are up in arms about, you know, the Democrats not being obstructionist. So what's your take on the situation, Hannah? Give me a hot take here.
Oh, gosh, a hot take. Well, first of all, let's talk about the fact that Donald Trump said Chuck and Nancy. Chuck and Nancy.
That's a little disrespectful.
Who would say that? And on Twitter, nonetheless, as per usual, his one medium that he can actually use semi-successfully. It's simple, so I get it. The thing about President Trump is that he is a simple man, and this is what we've come to understand. He has decided that the easiest way to talk to the American populace is by coming up with two-word phrases, right? So, crooked Hillary, or build the wall, that's three words, but I mean, come on, that's not hard to understand. And Chuck and Nancy, that's another one of his big hits. So I just
Lil
think,
Marco.
Yeah, Lil Marco. What did he say?
Low energy Jeb.
Yeah, right.
Lion
so
Ted.
Little things that are just quick jabs at people. And I think that this is, I don't think he knows that he's the president of the United States. I think he's still on a reality TV show and he's trying to get ratings. And the reality is that his ratings are the lowest they've been for any president really in a
long
time.
Well, what's really funny, I mean, I'm sure you saw the tweet about how he claims that Time magazine called him, and they
you
said,
"You don't believe that? You don't think that they want him to be person of the
oh,
year?"
Oh, I'm sure they do.
He really is the best. He's huge. Huge in America. We love him. He's the best there ever was. The
you
best
know,
president.
Kind of calling, you know, calling him and asking if he'd be interested in being person of the year, and Time magazine came out and said basically that that's bullcrap.
Right.
And it's just, I think it's really interesting how just he can get away with lying like that and how that's kind of, it's become the norm. He's such a liar. He really is. And I, you know, as much as mainstream Republicans and conservatives like to deny, as much as they don't like to claim him, as much as they like to say, you know, he's not a Republican, mm-hmm. you know, we don't, you know, as I mean, y'all the one who voted him in. So you guys could, you know, take a little responsibility.
And that's, I mean, that's the thing is the Republican Party is crumbling at its core, as we're seeing today. And I'm not trying to say that the Democratic Party
is isn't it? Yeah,
we're certainly not thriving.
Absolutely.
I mean, honestly, we don't even know who's going to
talk about that another day.
But. Yeah. But the Republican Party is a disaster. It's a disaster. And I have plenty of Republican friends who will say the same thing. And as much as you don't want to claim him as your president, if you voted third party in the 2016 election, if you voted for Harambe, like thousands of Americans did, if you voted for no one at all, if you didn't even go and vote on election day, then truly, I think that this man is in the White House because of you. And I know that's harsh, but let's be real.
Dang, hot take. Was that number 8 of the day? Here. Good stuff. Oh, and you know, it's interesting. I mean, he lies so much. I mean, he lied even, you know, from the day he got inaugurated. The greatest inauguration, or sorry, the biggest inauguration crowd ever, period. You know, Mr. Sean Spicer. Rip. Him and everyone else that's around him.
Honestly,
I don't understand how, you know, he can get, and, you know, the whole thing with him wanting to drain the swamp and getting rid of the establishment, when he's literally stacked his cabinet with, you know, the biggest CEOs, in Rex Tillerson, Exxon, you know, Sonny Perdue Farms as the head of agriculture. It's just ridiculous. It's so hypocritical. I'm a little frustrated, I think, with mainstream Republicans in general for not openly, you know, coming out and attacking Donald Trump and still clinging to the idea that Hillary was just this evil, like, you know, I don't even know what word to use at this point.
Well,
like,
it's the lesser of two evils debate.
Right. And I think that's such BS. And I really don't want to rehash the whole 2016 election year.
But we rehash it. I mean, everyone rehashes
yeah.
it every year.
Yeah,
right?
And that's true. I just think, you know, with this whole, you know, Time magazine thing and the Chuck and Nancy comment today.
And CNN. Did you see what he tweeted at CNN?
What did he tweet at CNN
today? He said that they represent the U.S. in a very poor way.
Oh, yes, yes.
And CNN replied, and they were like, that's not our job. You're the president of the United
absolutely.
States. That's your job.
Yeah.
So it was just an interesting... He kind of got put in his place.
Absolutely.
By liberal media.
Yeah. The fake news network.
Fake news.
Fake news. So I hope you guys have enjoyed daily dose of Trump bashing. We got to get away with it while, you know, not saying that Grant would necessarily support Trump, but...
We got to get away with it. Well,
get away with it while, you know, it's the liberals in the room.
And look, there's hope. I mean, you can denounce him any day, anytime, anywhere.
But put your money where your mouth is.
Don't talk about family values.
Right.
And then have this man.
And you know what, Hannah? It's people like Spencer Cox, especially. And I know you and I have talked about this. Such a beloved figure by everyone.
Especially
in
on
Utah
Twitter.
And liberals love them some Spencer Cox. Oh, they gush over Spencer Cox.
Look.
Here's my hot take of the day.
Yes.
Spencer Cox is full of shit. I'm sorry.
Let us hear it.
I think he is.
Tell it to them.
I think he's a decent man. He came to Utah State. I enjoyed meeting him. I think he's nice. I think he's full of shit because if he really, you know, disagree with the Republican platform, if he disagreed with the hatred that was going on in his party, if he disagreed with everything that was coming out of the White House, then he'd leave the Republican Party. And I'm tired of this, you know, basically trying to justify it. You know, I mean, look, he's the leader of your party. You guys nominated him by a landslide. It wasn't close. And you guys enabled it to happen. I mean, your national, I mean, call out the DNC all you want, but they protected their candidate. We can get to that another day. I'm glad Grant isn't here to challenge me on that.
Oh, gosh. The DNC.
But, yes. You know, that's the reason we have these institutions in place, to keep mm-hmm. people like Donald Trump from ever coming close to the White House.
Right.
But the Republican Party is not what it was 30 years ago. It's not what it was 50 years ago. I wouldn't have been a member of the party then.
Right. Oh,
certainly
no.
not now. Never. However, I think that the time for reason within the party is completely gone.
I mean, so, I don't want to say that the Republican Party is becoming the party of the alt-right, but
it's not. I definitely wouldn't say
it's leaning that way. Though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I think there are plenty of Republicans who consider themselves Republicans still, who are not necessarily that far to the right.
No, absolutely.
And I feel bad because your party is being taken over by Steve Bannon, by Steve Bannon, and Donald Trump, and Kushner, and all of these random people who came out of the woodwork, out of nowhere, to ruin the entire Republican
Party.
And
I think,
so I'm not going to say that every Republican is alt-right. I'm definitely not saying that. But it is concerning that
I will say, I'll say the party, I wouldn't go so far to say the party is leaning that way. I will say they've enabled these people.
Absolutely.
And I'll say,
absolutely,
especially people like Jeff Flake and John McCain, as courageous as they've been in the past year, what were they doing during the election cycle? They were dead
in the water.
Silent.
Yeah, right.
They were dead silent.
Of course.
The Republican establishment was dead silent during the election.
And
because deep down,
we
they didn't want Hillary in office, and they were willing, you know, to stick with Trump. They're not going to say that they were, but they were willing to stick with him, you know, for their policy outcomes. So.
And that's, I mean, and we have to keep in mind, and this goes into play with Spencer Cox, and I want to retract my statement about the Republican Party being alt-right. That wasn't necessarily the right thing to say, so I apologize to anyone that might have offended.
You're on the shit show, no need. You're
good.
Hot takes only.
I don't want people to think that I'm a elitist liberal, although I am. So
I am too, it's fine.
With Spencer Cox and John McCain and Jeff Flake and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and all of these Republican heroes suddenly coming out, my issue with this is that Democrats, and I myself have praised them, I called Susan Collins after she voted against healthcare. I called Lisa Murkowski and I said, thank you, because this, you're the reason. You know, John McCain and those two women are the reason that we're
that Obamacare
not,
wasn't
yeah,
repealed,
that millions of Americans aren't on their deathbeds practically.
Right.
And so I think my issue with this is that people praise Spencer Cox specifically because he's kind of a left-leaning Republican, but really not. Like, he came out in 2016 and was like, hey, let's not, like, abuse people who love those of the same sex. Like, he was just like, let's not be abusive to the LGBTQA+ community.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, it's 2016. You should have known that years ago. Like, thank you for coming to the party. We welcome you. That's a good stance to have.
Right, exactly.
But where have you been? Where have you been? And he doesn't support abortion. Spencer Cox doesn't support liberal ideals. And I'm not saying that we support abortion, but we do support the women's right to choose. And I don't think he does.
Well,
and I don't think he supports
and,
a lot
and
of
I
our
think,
ideals.
Well, and there are a lot of, and these are the same Republicans, like I said, that voted against, you know, the Violence Against Women, Defense Against Violence Against Women Act. You know, Lisa Murkowski voted in favor of allowing oil companies to drill on wildlife reserves in Alaska.
Right.
So all these, I mean, they get, you know, I commend them for their work on the healthcare bill. I think it took a lot of courage to stand up, you know, to the White House, who's controlled
Jeff
by Trump,
Flake
to do that.
Has done a phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
I'm sad to see him go because let's be real.
No, absolutely. And I, and look, and
place.
Look, and no, absolutely. And I, and this is not me saying that I, you know, I don't want moderate Republicans in Congress. I absolutely do. I think it's healthy to disagree with them on issues.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to choose between them and their counterparts on the far left or far right, I'd definitely choose them. I guess what I'm really pointing my frustration at are liberals and Democrats who are putting these people on a pedestal for just their, you know, actions on this one issue.
Oh,
when
yeah,
you have to
absolutely.
Take a step back and look at their broad scope of their political work. And they do not share the same values that we do. So that's just kind of what I was...
No, and we have to recognize that.
So kind of, you know, segueing into something a little bit different here, we had a listener question come in today from McKenna Allred, as soon as I can...
Pull it up.
Pull it up.
And look, Sam and I don't hate Republicans. Let me make that very clear.
I do not hate Republicans.
We think it's important to have both parties.
Absolutely.
Even third parties at times.
We want
in the political process.
A marketplace of ideas is important.
So please don't think we
However, at the same time, I reserve my right to vehemently disagree with you and tell you that you're wrong.
About most issues.
And if you're and if you think I'm dead wrong and slide in my DMs.
Let's talk.
Reply to our tweets. Tell me I'm full of shit. Please do. Tell Hannah she's full of crap.
Yeah, by all means. I mean, really. Absolutely. This is my opinion, and if you don't agree with it, that's fine.
Come on the show, and we'll talk about
come
it.
Come on the show.
So this is from from McKenna Allred. Her username is @McKenna_Allred. One of her questions is, and I want to ask this to you, Hannah, first.
Okay.
Can you be a Republican woman and a feminist at the same time? Yes or no?
This question is tough.
We've heard this question recently.
I have mixed feelings about this because I think that currently the Republican Party has absolutely no resemblance to feminist ideals. And when I say feminist ideals, I mean ideals that everybody deserves to have the equal right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I had to get corny for a minute, sorry. But really, that's
Republicans
the way
pull
I look
that crap
at feminism.
All the time, too.
They do. I know. They're like, oh, I love America. I love bald eagles. And I'm like, sober down. Anyways, so and I love the Constitution. Like, I love
absolutely.
The Constitution.
I carry my pocket Constitution with me all the time. Absolutely.
Hello. Yes. Foundations of America are fabulous. Anyways, but look, the Republican Party is not a avenue for feminist ideals to be presented. And I say that because I have a hard time with a party that doesn't believe in equal pay. I have a hard time with a party that doesn't believe in the woman's right to choose. And I don't necessarily want to say that I support abortion in all situations, but I support a woman having the right to choose what is best for her own body and her own life. I also don't support a party that thinks that they should regulate birth control. I mean, that argument in itself just makes no sense. And
tampon tax.
I mean, these little things that I truly feel like the Republican Party is against women. But if you are a Republican woman and you believe that you can break the highest glass ceiling, and maybe you do believe in the woman's right to choose, and maybe you do believe that there's an issue in pay equality, and maybe you do believe in all of these things that I've previously mentioned. I don't know. I mean, I truly don't know. I don't think it's really my place to say that you can or cannot be a feminist. I think that's up to you to decide. And I think you need to decide what you define as feminism. I think that out of the two parties, I am negating third parties. I apologize, but I am. Out of the two parties, the Democratic Party enhances feminism and allows it to work in the political process more so than the Republican Party. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But I do think it is more beneficial, and I do think they go hand in hand. So that question, honestly, I think that deserves some self-reflection. I don't think it's my place to say. If you consider yourself a feminist, then that's wonderful. But please understand that that means that you support equality, and that means that you support your fellow women and your fellow man. And that's it.
Yeah.
End of story.
I tend to agree with you. I don't think it's impossible to be a Republican woman and a feminist. I think you can have your own ideas about government and about how our country should be run. You know, no matter what your views are on those things, and still believe in the equal rights of men and women. However, I will say, kind of echo what you said about, you know, the GOP in general. I mean, this is a party, you know, where a significant portion of their delegation voted against the Violence Against Women reauthorization of 2013.
Yeah, right.
I encourage everyone to go and look at the voting record. It was only Republicans who voted against it. I mean, I can't really comprehend, you know, kind of their...
Such a nonpartisan issue. It shouldn't be partisan. Right.
You know, and I just... I mean, we're in the year 2017. I just feel like a lot of these are just common sense issues, and I don't think that the Republican Party takes women seriously. I really don't think they do.
No, and if they do, and I mean, there are some incredible women in the Republican Party who are in political office.
Sure.
And I genuinely think that Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins are wonderful women. Do I disagree with most of what they believe? Absolutely. I think that there are, and we're not trying to say that there's not women in political office who are Republicans. We just don't think that the party necessarily supports them the way it should.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to say that the Democratic Party does either. I mean, I don't think there's enough support for women in the Democratic Party, especially women of color and transgender women. We need to work on that a lot.
Sure, that's fair.
We really do. So
definitely. I think just the political environment in general, we have a long way to come, and including women's voice and their opinions. I mean, if you look at how many elected officials that we have that are women, especially on a statewide level,
right.
It's pretty depressing. I mean, over the summer I read a report. I don't remember the name of the organization. They did a study on the influence that women have on a state, basically a state government level.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only a handful of states. I think there's only one state where, half of the representatives in one of their, main two houses are women.
Right, yeah.
We still have, it's still an old boys club, and I think it still will be for years to come.
Sorry,
go ahead.
No, but I know that we don't want to talk about the 2016 election, but when I think about feminism in the Republican Party, I kind of think about right-wing and left-wing media and how the 2016 election was covered. And I think we can decidedly say that it was very different for Hillary versus Donald Trump. I think that there was a lot more focus on what Hillary Clinton was wearing or how she was behaving than there was on Donald Trump. And that in itself, is inherent sexism. But we saw that from both sides.
Well, yeah.
And more so from the right, of course.
No, absolutely. No, there's definitely a lot from the left as well. Absolutely.
And I think feminism really plays into that. We have to be willing to say, and when Sarah Palin, right?
Oh,
she
absolutely.
Was treated incredibly unfairly.
Absolutely.
And there were some disgusting comments
from the left as well.
Oh,
absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I, I don't want to delve into this too deeply. I just think the one thing that really bothered me was the fact that Donald Trump has had, three wives.
Right.
Talked about groping another woman, and basically had that put out in public while he was married to another married woman and still was basically unscathed from that.
And
Hillary is just ripped apart by the right wing
because of Bill
for the actions of her husband.
And I'm not I think Bill Clinton has done some very questionable things.
Absolutely.
I am in the boat that he probably should have resigned when he was president.
We can get into that another time.
I'm in that boat. But I think that it's wrong for Hillary to be judged by her husband. I think that's
absolutely,
completely wrong. And I would never, if Sarah Palin was in the same boat, if she was running for president, I wouldn't be like, well, what did your husband do?
Right.
That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Well, and I don't, the same thing goes for Melania Trump. I don't want her to be judged by the actions of her husband.
No,
although I think her husband is a disgusting man, and I don't understand why she would get married to him. to be completely honest with you, that's her
number 25
sure.
of the evening.
That's her deal, and she has her own personal reasons, and I respect that. And I think, she should be viewed as independent to her husband, and her views and her actions are independent of her husband.
Absolutely. And what she did, another note about Melania, because people brought up her nude photos in the campaign.
Yeah.
That to me does not matter. I don't think that was a conversation
that needed to be had. Agreed.
So I thought that was completely inappropriate to bring up her past. Like I said, you're not going to judge a presidential. You shouldn't judge Hillary based on Bill. I don't think you should judge Donald based on Melania and vice versa. I mean, that's it. That's the basis of my beliefs there.
Yeah.
Next. Moving on.
Okay. Switching gears here a little bit. We're moving on to... Hannah, you brought this to my attention earlier, the whole Hawaii situation, testing out their nuclear alarms.
Yeah.
With North Korea, I think it was South Korea said that they expect North Koreans to have a nuclear weapon ready by 2018.
Yes. Well, we were going to have a nice segue into this because we're going to discuss the Hawaii football game earlier.
Oh, excuse me.
But
I'm sorry.
We skipped ahead to Air Force.
Hawaii was last week.
Speaking of Hawaii.
Sorry.
Yeah,
we beat Hawaii. Speaking of Hawaii,
North Korea has recently tested another ballistic missile. After 2 months, the last time was in September, and Hawaii has decided, and Sam makes fun of the way I say Hawaii, but my friend is from there, and that's how she says it. Okay. So I'm going to go with the native.
Sorry, how do you say it? Hawaii.
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 Hawaii. Hawaii.
I don't want to like culturally appropriate.
No, how to but say I it. Think that is the correct way to say
okay.
it.
Okay.
From what she said,
I'm trying to be PC.
She is from there.
When Grant's not here, we have to be as PC as possible because he will make fun of me for that. So.
Okay. Well, okay.
Anyways,
we're
continue.
Being PC. so, anyways, they have come out and decided that they are going to be putting in place their Cold War era nuclear alarm systems. And what that means is basically it's an alarm system that says, hey, run, hide, like
yeah.
something is happening. I mean, in the simplest of terms, really. It's interesting, though, because I was reading an article from a bunch of people who live on the island, and they were just talking about how some of them were like, well, this makes no sense. If we're going to get hit by a missile, we're all going to die anyways. So why would we need a shelter? I mean, what is that going to do for us? And that's a fair point. But I think it says a lot that Hawaii has gotten to a point where they have this decided that this is something they need to do. I think yeah. that says something, and we all need to be thinking about this on a national level, that we are at this point where we should be thinking about what are we going to do if we have a missile launched our way? What yeah. what are we going to do? How are yeah. we going to be prepared for that? So, yeah.
I don't have an answer there.
I know. I mean, I don't either. And it's
I mean,
terrifying.
I don't think anyone...
My head every day.
I mean, Grant and I talked about this kind of at the beginning when we started the podcast. Basically how we handle the North Korea situation. Grant is a little more qualified to talk about it, you know, someone who's in the military. But I think it's really frightening. I honestly don't believe that North Korea would ever attack the United States directly, because I think they're just asking to be obliterated. However, I think we absolutely do have to worry about our allies in South Korea. I mean, not even on a nuclear level, just, you know, the fact that North Korea has, you know, thousands of artillery cannons lined up just across from the DMZ, you know, ready to level cities,
yeah.
you know, right now as we speak. I mean, they're still technically in a state of war. So I think that's really scary. I don't know exactly how we're going to handle that. Again, I'm praying for General Mattis. I think
just step in.
I think he's
Father Mattis.
I think yeah. Father Mattis. Anyways. I think he's the best cabinet member that we have in the Trump administration. So I think we're in good hands there, but again, I think this is something, especially looking towards the future with Russia and, you know, hopefully, you know, potentially more countries getting their hands on nuclear weapons, hopefully not, but you know, it's a question for the 21st century. I don't think we're still on our way there to the climax. So.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see if we make it to 2020.
Hopefully.
Well,
Joe
hope
Biden,
so,
Biden,
I mean,
Biden 2020.
We just have to make it to 2018 because that's going to be blue wins across the country.
We just have to make it to Biden winning the presidency.
Hello, Joe Biden.
Yes.
Hello.
So anyway, that's about all we have for you guys today. Not much going on around campus this week. We have the USU versus BYU basketball game on Saturday at 7 p.m. in the Spectrum. I will absolutely be attending. I'm sure Grant will as well. That should be fun.
I will too. I love basketball.
More than football?
More than football.
Okay.
Definitively,
good to know.
Yes. It's inside.
Okay, good start.
It's nice and warm. Okay. It's not outside.
Anyways. So yeah, the kind of struggling USU basketball team looks to, you know, get a key win against their rival on Saturday. Also, the USU hockey team plays in a big rivalry game on Friday against the University of Utah. So if you're not doing anything on Friday night, you can have a weekend full of Aggie sports.
Yes.
Should be a really good time. The GRC is potentially scheduling a gripe night.
We're hoping. Stay tuned, though.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Next week on the podcast, I'll definitely make sure to get more details about that. If anyone went to it last year, I don't know who's even listening to our podcast, but basically it's an opportunity for students to come and complain about, you know, what they want to see change at the school. Basically this is something we'll relay to the student government and see
yeah.
what we can get done. About.
And they can be absurd.
Absolutely. Come.
Things.
We're going to have a social media hashtags, mm-hmm. Twitter, Snapchat, the whole deal. So it should be a really good time, and I encourage you know, everyone, if you're having, you know, problems with the university, if you're having problems with any professors, I encourage you to talk to administration. Come and talk to your student representatives, Bridget Brown, Michael Scott Peters, everyone, you know, who's elected to
represent you. They're here for you.
Absolutely.
Because everyone belongs.
Hot take. Not getting into that. So yeah, that's pretty much all we have for you today. Next week we'll be having our last podcast of the semester, number 10. So be ready for that. It's going to be a good one. We're looking to have not one, but two guests on, again, with some spicy hot takes, to get you guys through winter break. So, you know, I hope you guys made it through Thanksgiving break without us. I'm sure that was difficult. But once again, Hannah, if you want to give out your Twitter handles, people can follow you and see your hot takes on the weekly.
I'm trying to be better about not being so partisan on my Twitter. But just for you guys, it is HBZ. I know that's a ridiculous name.
How many Z's?
It's actually one Z and three Y's.
Okay.
So it's HBEAZYYY. My header is Hillary Clinton with her hands up in the air like she just doesn't care. Anyways, but really, if you have any opinions that differ from Sam or mine, please let us know. Because I'm always looking for eye-opening conversations.
Absolutely.
I need to be less stubborn in my political views.
Absolutely. It's good. It's good to be, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed the liberal echo chamber today. It's kind of the first one we've had on the podcast so far. And once Grant hears this, it'll probably be the last. So I hope it wasn't too hard on you guys. I appreciate you guys, you know, listening here to the end. You know, once again, this is Sam Jackson. My Twitter handle is Sam N Jackson. Thank you guys for listening and tune in again next week. Thanks, guys.